Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening to our listeners from Alaska to Australia. This is the Contact Radio Show with me, Wes Roberts. I'm sitting in tonight for our hostess, my friend, and the birthday girl, Leslie Mitchell Clark. Leslie, I realize you may not be listening to the show live. I know you're out celebrating, and that's the main reason I'm sitting in the big chair this evening. But when you do listen to the show, and for all our listeners who are there with us right now, all the best to you, Leslie. You're a good and close friend, a confidant, and you have done wonders for me these past 3 years or so as my hypnotherapist. Thank you. And friends everywhere, tonight and all night, remember, you are not alone. So, speaking of tonight's show, we have one of our favorite recurring guests, Ahanu. Before I pick up the call and we get the show started, and I know Ahanu is probably going to call in a minute or two, I wanted to share with you just a few things we feel you should know about our guest. So this is a short list, but we have a lot to talk about once Ahanu calls in. So here are a few things we want you to know about our special guest tonight. Ahanu is a metaphysical visual artist, author of the book, The Reincarnation of Columbus. He's an on-air host of the Art of Living Well Radio Network's The Honest to God series, which, by the way, you can also catch on Blog Talk Radio. He's also a Celtic mythologist, a motivational speaker, and a spiritual teacher. He is the beloved husband of his twin flame partner, who is Angel Rose. And Ann Gale is also a frequent guest of the program. She actually appeared here on the program quite recently. There are several websites, services, and things that Ahanu and his twin flame do for everyone. The main website can be found at ahanu.com, A-H-O-N-U.com. So Ahanu, also known as Kevin O'Grady, has worked with Ann Gale to found several organizations. For instance, Holistic Ireland, the World of Empowerment Organization, and the Spirit of Love Project. And I'm certainly interested tonight in speaking to Ahanu about many of these things, perhaps most recently the Spirit of Love Project. So I want to take time tonight to speak to Ahanu and to help fill in our listeners to find out much more about this amazing, wonderfully helpful gentleman, the various organizations that he has helped to co-found, and perhaps even revisit something that we visited with him and Ann Gale before, the knowledge and perhaps the definition for twin flame. In the past, when he was on the show, he also read from his extremely touching and wonderfully inspiring book, The Reincarnation of Columbus. And that's a story about how he lost his first child. And perhaps we'll talk a little bit more about that tonight with Ahanu. And the website you should know about for this book is http://thereincarnationofcolumbus.com. So in short, wonderful listeners, we have loads of interesting ground to cover this evening with our guest. And on that note, I think I did see him on the switchboard here, so maybe I'll wait for the call to come back in. So as soon as Ahanu calls back in, I'll pick up his call and welcome him to the show. In the meantime, while I'm waiting for him to call back in, just a few notes about our special sponsors. So we do have quite a few kind and generous sponsors and people and organizations who support us very well on a regular basis. So that started out with the UFOria group. So James Borg, Stallman and Carl, Rick Klassen, Loretta, and quite a few others at this wonderful organization, UFOria, who support us and who we participate and interact with when we can. And there's, of course, Origo Books, origobooks.com, and Origo Books is down in the St. Lawrence Market area of Toronto. There's Conspiracy Culture that Patrick White runs, and that's on Queen Street West in Toronto. And there's Enchanted Reveries, and Enchanted Reveries offers all sorts of special mystical jewelry. So there, we did a little housekeeping. It looks like Ohano is back, and I'm just going to see if I can pick up this call. Good evening. This is Love Talk. Is this you, Ohano?
Hey, Wes. This is Ohano.
Ohano, welcome back to the show.
Thank you very much. It's a pleasure and a privilege to be here speaking with you. Thank you.
Oh, you're so welcome. I don't know if you heard any of the intro, but I could spend the next hour, I think, just introducing you.
Well, I didn't, you know, because I forgot that you were in Canada, and I was there trying to connect with you with a U.S. prefix until I eventually realized I was calling the wrong country.
Not a problem. You know, we do have listeners and callers from all over the world, and one of these days, Ohano, we're going to try and fix it up so we have a toll-free number. And, you know, in fact,
right.
We're working towards a Facebook page right now, and I know that's going to help us out. But in any event, thank you for calling us back.
Yeah, no worries. And, you know, it makes me think about the fact that these issues that you cover in Contact are borderless. They go beyond any perceived ideas of boundaries and border. And, you know, when we align ourselves with that concept, then, you know, the issue of trying to connect with a particular number in a particular place in a particular time period is farcical, really, isn't it?
Oh, you know, it is. And I think we do think of ourselves that way, and we're trying not to feel, let's say, put upon or put down by the technology that we're relying on. You know, we understand it's just a temporary thing, and certainly people are at their leisure to reach back to us when we reach out. So I appreciate your saying that. Thank you for that.
Yes, 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 yes. So how are we going to cover these enormous range of subjects that we want to cover today?
Well, I read out, I would have to say, a part of what you do, and that almost took 5 minutes just to read it out. So there are a lot of things that you and your lovely twin flame wife, Angale, do. And, you know, I thought of all the things, and I mentioned some of them on the air already. I am fascinated by and very, very interested in the whole idea of twin flames. And I know you said that's
right.
Something we could talk about. So could you reintroduce that to our listeners? And it would certainly help me out too.
I will, certainly. And, you know, if you don't mind, coming from Ireland, our way of explaining things is by telling a story. So if you don't mind, I have to explain this also by way of a story. And what happened was, Angale Rose and I first met when we were on a whale-watching boat off the island of Tenerife in the Canary Islands. And neither of us knew anything about twin flames at the time, and the furthest thing that any of us wanted was a relationship. She was had come out of a relationship, and I had come out of a relationship, and here we were on this whale-watching boat. But we did notice each other, and we did notice that there was a very, very deep connection that was beyond the ordinary. It wasn't just an attractiveness thing, and that's a subtle difference between, let's say, an ordinary and a twin flame connection. But we wanted to meet up with each other again, and the next connecting point was a workshop that we were both interested in, a spiritual type of workshop that was taking place in Phoenix, Arizona. And I had arrived first, and to pass the time, there was this kind of a sideshow lecture that was going on twin flames and soulmates. And I thought, okay, you know, let's go in and see what that's all about. And in listening to it, I realized that this was divinely orchestrated. And like so many things in life that we resist, you know, I was maneuvered into this by spirit. There's no question about it. And it explained really what twin flames were all about from a 3D perspective, in the sense that they likened a twin flame relationship to a clock face. And everybody's familiar with where the 12 is on the clock face, and the 6 and the 3 and the 9. And what they said was that a primary twin flame is like the 12 and 6 relationship, and then you have a lesser twin or secondary twin, which would be like the 3 and the 9. And then you've got further downstepping of a twin flame relationship, which would be like a 1 and a 7 or a 2 and an 8 or a 5 and an 11. And at that level, it didn't really make too much sense to me, except that I was living in Ireland at the time. Angel Rose was living in upstate New York. Oh, no, in fact, she was living in Chicago at the time. And there was a six-hour time difference between us. And the strangest thing was that the only time we ever connected on the phone was either 6 o'clock my time and 12 o'clock hers, or 12 midnight my time and 6 a.m. her time. So there was this 12-6 thing going on that I found peculiar. I found it really, really strange, really odd. I'd never encountered it before. And then we decided to meet up in Chicago after that, and I flew into Chicago. We were doing some business in downtown on the Magnificent Mile. We checked into this hotel, and I was standing in the lobby in front of the check-in desk, and Angel Rose was behind me with the luggage, and she called to me, and she said, "Ahanu, look down." And I turned around, and I looked down, and there was I, standing on a lobby rug in the shape of a clock, and I was standing on the 12, and she was standing on the 6. So there you go. There was no more doubting it after that. Yeah.
That is actually
wasn't that extraordinary?
The standing up here.
Yeah.
Oh, it's that.
So
is
the twin flame thing. Yeah, the twin flame thing is inevitable. And it really is an extraordinary experience for anybody, and an absolutely wonderful experience. And it is different to a soulmate relationship, because a soulmate can be anybody that you're working out karma with, or that you are dealing with issues with, and almost it's on a 3D level, and that's where it is. But it could be a parent and child, or a teacher, student, or it could be brother, sister, or it could be lover. It can be any of those relationships, but they're working on issues. And then the twin flame really is like the same spark that come off source that is reuniting again, and it's like on the journey home. You get a real feeling of tying up loose ends and completing the final journey.
That's helpful for me to hear. I remember many, many years ago, Ahanu, thinking, is it possible to have more than one soulmate? And it wasn't a popular thing to say out loud in some respects.
Yes.
You know, and
yes.
I know when you talk about twin flames, you also talk about them reconnecting. So can you maybe touch on that a little bit?
Yes, reconnecting. It's like, as I said, when you come off the spark, the original spark coming off source splits in two, and these are this 12-6 primary twin flame relationship. So it's inevitable that the reconnection takes place. And then it's like the two coming together doesn't just make one, it makes two, and it makes three. And it's like the energy in that union becomes a bigger flame, a flame of energy. It's very hard to describe it, but it is the type of energy that many would find it useful to keep the twin pair separated. And this is why you have so many of these great tragedies in our history, the likes of Tristan and Isolde and Romeo and Juliet, these kind of stories of great love affairs, but them ending in a tragic separation of one kind or another. And you do feel that in a twin flame relationship, that there are these big forces out there that want to keep you apart. But at the same time, there is this wonderful, joyful, creative force that wants you to be together. Do you know what I mean? So it's a really interesting and challenging reunion.
I think I do know what you mean. And, you know, I'm experiencing a couple of feelings and thoughts right now. One is this cause to make you fearful? You have found your twin flame and she or he has found you, and now you're afraid because there are forces that would like to see you separated. Does that make you nervous at all?
It does when you look at it from the past experience of soulmate relationships. Now, let me explain that. Most people will have many soulmate relationships in their lives. As I said, it could be parent and child, then teacher, student, could be your bank manager, whoever. But these relationships that are working on issues. And a lot of those end in, let's call it disappointment for the want of a better word. They end up hurting people, either through, you know, loss or separation. And it sets you up then to be fearful of that one big relationship which is inevitable, that twin flame relationship. And the difficulty is most of us do tend to bring along the baggage of the disappointment of previous relationships. And that's a tragedy in itself. Yeah, that's a sad thing really in itself, because you do have to let go of all of these preconceived ideas when you enter into a twin flame relationship, because there is no room for baggage. There is no room for concealing anything. One of the beautiful things about it is that you can't hide, and that raises its own fears initially, but then it's actually a very liberating thing, because you're with somebody who is yourself, and in that way it's pointless trying to hide anyway.
Okay, you can't hide from
you. Does
that
make sense?
Yes.
You can't hide
yes,
from yourself.
Yes, I think so.
Yeah.
You can't hide from someone who is so much like you as if to be a mirror.
Yes. Yeah. It's a beautiful thing.
You know, Ahana, you mentioned threes, and that comes up many times on the show. It comes up in my thinking. I'm sure it comes up in a lot of people's thinking. Another one of our favorite guests, John Raphael, talks about that. And he's basically said, and I know I'm paraphrasing him here, it really takes three for definition. And I think one of the things you were saying is when the twin flames meet, they actually cause some kind of definition to occur, a third thing. Would you say that's true?
Yes, it is. And that's why I said it creates a one, a union. It creates the two of the individual couples, but then the individual pair, but then it creates the third Merkaba, the third entity, that third flame. And so in a way it connects back to our version, our perception of the Trinity, you know, that inside the Trinity is the one, the two, and the three, and the union of those is a miraculous thing.
Well, certainly, yeah. And I don't know how many of our listeners have visited any of the many websites you participate in or are a part of, but seeing pictures of yourself in an angel is an amazing thing. It radiates outward from the both of you, from the two of you. So
yeah.
It's a wonderful thing just to see.
Well, how they happened, Wes, was also a development in learning to trust your intuition and learning to follow your guidance. You know, I come from a culture, much like in the United States, that's driven by accomplishment and achievement, and, you know, you measure everything by income and the economics of your business and your life. And I realize that's not necessarily the right way to measure anything. But just by way of explanation, coming from that background, I certainly found myself before I met Engel Rose in businesses where you measured yourself in that way, do you know?
Oh, yeah.
And then after meeting her and coming into a realization of the power of the twin flame and how, in a way, the message of the Course in Miracles that says the healed mind doesn't plan, we dropped a lot of our planning. But At the same time, though, a lot of things were happening that necessitated various websites to do various different things, not by way of measuring something, but things slotted very conveniently into an unfolding. And I'll give you an example of that. We had the necessity to host, for example, my own growing collection of spirit art paintings, for example. So I set up a website called ahonu.com, ahonu.com. And then they grew to be so many that I needed to have a separate gallery site. So I set up ahonu.com with the extension /gallery. And then the Spirit of Love project came along, and so that became /Spirit of Love. And then we needed something to display Angel Rose's work, so we set up angelrose.com. And then she had written her first book, A Time of Change, and it made sense to develop that into, you know, for keyword reasons and for to be found on the web and for social network reasons and all of those various other 3D commercial reasons, we set up atimeofchange.info, and the same thing for her next book, The Nature of Reality.info. But where this is going is we found ourselves hosting our websites with various people in various countries. And the next logical step was, well, why don't we host these ourselves? Not only would it be less expensive in terms of measuring it on that old economic way, but also just to have everything in one place. So we set up, it became inevitable that we had our own hosting company, and so we set up DiamondSunHosting.com. So now all of our work in all of the different areas of our lives is all hosted on our own servers at DiamondSunHosting.com. And further from that then, it became necessary to explain to people the new development with the Akashic Records that we're doing, and that became worldofempowerment.com. So now you can kind of get a picture of why it became necessary to have these different websites and, you know, the development of our lives on the web and on the social networks in that way. Does that make sense?
It makes plenty of sense, and I'll just make a short interjection. I don't know if you host this site as well, but there's fineartamerica.com. And so I've been looking at that gallery, ahonu.fineartamerica.com. Is that your site or is that a separate site?
Yeah, what that is, there is a fabulous website that anybody can, who is an artist, can actually pay a small sum of money per annum. Now, it's nothing to do with us. It's called fineartamerica.com. But if you pay something like $30 a year, you can host your own artwork on there, and I believe it can be photography as well as fine art and crafts and various other things. And you get your own website, like in my case, it's ahonu.fineartamerica.com. And they do all the promotion for your work, which is really fantastic. I do believe it's one or maybe even the largest art website on the planet. And it was necessary for us to be part of that because of the spirit artwork that I do. So that's a highly recommended site to go exploring around, not just for my stuff, but for the multitude of absolutely wonderful artists that you can find on there. Really, really exquisite artwork. Yeah.
Well, thank you for talking about that. I should tell our listeners that the way the galleries are set up and organized, and in your particular case, you have over 5-6 pages at least of various artwork that you've done. It's really done nicely, clearly, easy to see,
yes.
Brilliant colors, and there's
yes.
amazing pieces of art that are really thoughtful. Like, for instance, you know, who are we and why are we here? I'm sure our listeners
right.
ask that question. I ask it all the time.
Yes, yes, yes. And, you know, where they came from. Again, I have to tell you a story, Wes, how those pictures developed. And by way of telling you this story too, I want people to get from this and to understand that anybody and everybody can do what I do. You know, when people say, like, I'm an artist, you know, you kind of get this feeling of, oh, that's some lofty aspiration and I can't paint and I can't draw. But I assure people, everybody can paint. and everybody can draw. And I'll give you an idea of how easy that is and how I developed to become an artist and a spiritual artist. What happened was, Angel Rose was doing some tarot readings in like a psychic fair. I think everybody's familiar with a psychic fair. You know, where you can go in and get your reading done for $50 or whatever it is.
Oh, yeah.
And I was sitting there at the table, and this woman came into the room. And anybody, you can assume that anybody who comes into a room like that is looking for a reading of one kind or another. Well, this woman came into the room and headed straight for me. Now, I wasn't advertising myself as a reader because I didn't have any experience of tarot at the time. But she came and sat in front of me anyway. And when I looked at her, I was looking at something about her that wasn't a physical body. I could see in my mind's eye, I could actually see a spinal cord. And I just kind of drew a very rough sketch of a spinal cord on a piece of paper. But the interesting thing was that I saw down at the base of the spine was what looked like two black daggers going into the base of her spine. And I just said to her very, very spontaneously, I said, "Do you suffer from lower back pain?" And she said, "Oh, my God, how did you know that?" And she said, "I've been to every doctor in Ireland, and nobody has been able to solve my lower back pain." And I said to her, "Well, look, I mean, to me, it seemed very obvious what the solution was." I said, "Let me redraw this spinal cord." And all it was really a curved line, almost like an S, you know, just a figure, a letter S, just a rough drawing of a spinal cord. I said, "Let me redraw that in its divine perfection, and I'll just remove these two black daggers." Okay, now that's how simple, that's how easy it was. Well, she looked at the picture, Wes, and she got up and she walked off. And I thought, "Oh, God, that was quick." She just walked off. And she was actually testing her back. She walked around the hall. She was twisting and turning, leaning over, bending forwards, backwards. She came back and she sat down and she said, "I don't believe this. For the first time in my life, I am free of back pain." And I thought, "Whoa, this is really interesting." So like that, she said, "How much?" And I didn't know. I mean, how much do you charge for something like that, right? So I looked across at what most of the other readers were charging, and it seemed there was a price there of 50 for everything. So I said 50. So she dropped a 50 on the table. Off she went. I thought, "Whoa, isn't that interesting now?" So the next thing that happened was, Angel Rose, we just got married in Connecticut, and she was admiring her new name, which is O'Grady, my last name, O'Grady. Mm-hmm. And in the office of the registry in Connecticut, they had a coat of arms of the state. Now, most Irish families, and certainly most European families and some American families that would have descended from that area of the world, would have coats of arms. And we were looking at the coat of arms, and she said, "What about our name, O'Grady? Do we have a coat of arms?" I said, "Yes, we do." And on the O'Grady coat of arms, it has three, usually most coats of arms, they have a Latin inscription. And ours said, "Vulneratus non victus." And she said, "What does that mean?" And I explained it to her. It's written in Latin, and it means fallen but not defeated. And she said to me, "Why would we want to be fallen but not defeated? Can we change that?" And I said, "Hang on a second. You're looking at hundreds and hundreds of years of history. You're looking at hundreds of years, maybe even a couple of thousand. And you can't go just changing something like that." "Oh, yes, we have to," she said. She asked me, "Can you repaint our family crest? Can you repaint that coat of arms?" And I said, "I'll certainly give it a try." So I tuned in, and what I saw, instead of the usual swords and shields and lions and symbols of war and flags, what I saw was something very beautiful. I saw a pair of unicorns, and I saw the colors of the chakras, red, orange, yellow, green, blue, indigo, violet, beautifully paired off and in a beautiful symmetric pattern. That's what I saw. And I just had to render that down on paper, very simply, very easily, very quickly, just to kind of put down what I saw. Well, everything changed. It's like as if we were no longer fallen or defeated. And I was telling a friend of mine about this, and she said, I want one. So I tuned into her, and I saw like a scene that was like from a seafaring family. I said to her, are you from a seafaring family? Because there was dolphins and pearls and all this kind of ocean water. And she said, no, I don't come from a seafaring family at all. And do you know what? I felt very disappointed. I thought, oh, God, I thought I was onto something.
Mm-hmm.
So she came back about a week later, Wes, and she said, do you know what? I was wrong and you were right. She said, from my grandfather back, I found out they were all seafaring people. So I said, okay, let's look at this. So she took the crest home and she hung it on our wall. And we found out a couple of weeks later that she had taken it off the wall and she was going to give it to her brother. And then Gail Rose met her on the street and she said, hey, what's the story with this, Winnie? What's happening here? I believe you don't like the crest. What's happening? So this woman, Winnie, she explained to Anne Gail Rose, she said, yeah, she said, I was feeling nervousness in my stomach and I was very uncomfortable with it and I decided to give it to my brother. And Anne Gail Rose said to her, well, Winnie, that area of your stomach, you know that that's the solar plexus and that's the seat of power. Are you in the habit of handing your power away to men?
Oh, my.
And Winnie said, yes. She said, oh, my God. She said, all my life I've been handing my power away to men. I handed my power away to my father and to my ex-husband and to my adult male children and the bank manager and the teacher. And she said, that's it. I'm taking that crest and I'm going to go home and put it back on the wall. And, you know, as soon as she did, we found out, we met her, it's about 3 weeks after that, and she had completely changed. She had makeup and a new suit of clothes, her hair done, whole different self-esteem about her. And I realized that what these pictures were doing was actually changing something inside the person. It was changing the dynamic. It was changing the energy field. And not only that, but it was going backwards in time and forwards in time. And it was performing ancestral healing as well as everything else. So that's what those pictures are that you talk about. And that led on to the Spirit of Love project. But that was a whole different project of its own.
Oh, my goodness. I'm sitting here listening, mm-hmm. curiously making notes, wondering if our listeners are as affected as I am. So I'm going to come back at you in about 1 minute with a couple of thoughts and questions. And I just want to give another shout-out to our sponsors, if you don't mind.
Sure. Yeah, thank you.
Okay, so we are listening to Ohanu, and this is Contact on Blog Talk Radio. This is Wes Roberts sitting in tonight for Leslie Mitchell Clark, who is out there hopefully enjoying her birthday. So a quick shout-out to some of our sponsors once again. Thank you to the Euphoria folks, James Borg, Skullman, Carl, and many others who are our supporters and who we interact with. Thank you to Arrigo Books. It's a fine and wonderful bookstore with lots of interesting books, charms, pendulums, you name it. Also, shout out to Patrick of Conspiracy Culture, and that's the west end of the city, very close to the lake. And our thank you to Enchanted Reveries. So we are speaking to Ohanu, and Ohanu was going through a story about basically about how he became an artist, a mystical artist, spiritual artist, and it's an amazing story. And I just want to pick up from where he left off and just give him some thoughts and feedback. And when I do, folks, I know we don't get a lot of callers. I know a lot of our listeners listen to the show offline. They download it. But if you would like to call in, you're very welcome to. The number is Exchange 424-220-1861. So that was area code 424-220-1861. So, Ohanu, as I was listening to you there, I underlined some words that I was scratching down, actually three things. One is that you redrew something as if to change something on a paradigm level. in yourself or in someone else. The other is you tuned in, and I think that probably has to precede the ability to redraw. And then the other, and it may not be related, hopefully you can tell me if you think it is the law of attraction is extremely popular these days, and it's a big interest of myself and my wife, Lisa, and a few other people we know. And all these things are swirling around through my brain, and I guess I have to ask you, do they sound related to what you just talked about?
Yes, I do believe they're all very, very well connected. And let me just explain about the change that these pictures did and how they did it, because I do believe that we underestimate the power of images. And it's one of the reasons, of course, you know, you being in the contact area will understand the power of images. Now, when I painted those pictures and all of these spirit art pictures that I do, I think what happens is that when people look at them, it's like as if they're ingested, in a sense, through the third eye. And it goes into the pineal gland and registers as a new paradigm instantly. And I think that's a very, very powerful thing. In other words, it's already done. It's not like you have to go out there and do some work and say a whole bunch of affirmations. Do you know what I mean? It's instantaneous because it goes in at that level. And it's
yes, I think I'm following you here. So there's no stopping at one or several levels that are in the way of the information.
Yes, yeah, yeah. And this is why I think they are so powerful, and it's also why symbolism is such a powerful thing throughout the world. I mean, on everywhere. And I think it's one of the reasons why you might have various groups like the Masons and, you know, various other organizations and religions of all kinds. They use symbolism very, very effectively because it goes in at the level of, as I say, the third eye, and it's ingested deep into the DNA at that level and registers as a paradigm. Yeah.
And that's what I was thinking. So thank you for clarifying that. It's a paradigm level change. It cannot be a surface conscious change because that just doesn't work. We beat ourselves up and we try to change things consciously, don't we?
That's right. And it's also why, in some small ways, I would have objections to a number of, let's call them teaching modalities that are out there that would teach that, you know, you have to relive the pain of the past in order to clear it. You know, that these, like the law of attraction, yes, the law of attraction is real. And this is where the twin flames would ultimately become attracted to each other, would ultimately meet because of the law of attraction in action. But in terms of making changes to oneself for the better with self-help, repeating affirmations like that and making New Year's resolutions and so on, they don't work unless the amount of energy that goes into it is so strong that it overcomes the stasis, overcomes the status quo and rebuilds a new attitude and a new framework, and then things will change for sure. But if you can get at it at such a deep level that it's like as if it's already done, then change is inevitable.
You know, I like the way you put that, the status quo, this is the neatest thing, because the status quo is something, to my mind, and I do it too, that we enshrine, we put on a pedestal. We make these mouthing noises, we make the resolutions that ultimately we think the status quo is untoppable. We think that it cannot be overthrown. Isn't that true?
Yeah, exactly. And we also like the status quo in that it's a safer place. It's a safe place, you know. Like the devil you know is better than the devil you don't, in a sense, you know. It has its attractions. Yeah, it does. It does, for real. It has its attractions. And we don't venture out and we don't get out of the box and we don't think differently. And we had an absolutely wonderful session this morning. Angel Rose does a fabulous thing on Sunday mornings in the Akashic Records. And the session this morning was about the session was about the future. Now, what came out of that was our thinking, the way we think in the past has always been on a horizontal level. In other words, the past appears to be behind us, the present appears to be now, and the future appears to be in the future. This is the way we've constructed our lives to be. Now, it's difficult in language to explain this because we're in it. Do you understand? You have to kind of get out of it to see how ridiculous that is. Because if we could be in the moment, the way she described it this morning, if we could be in the moment, then the past or the future doesn't exist. And all the power that we have as an amazing creator being is in that moment. And it's a wonderful concept, but it takes a bit to get your head around it, you know?
I think I'm hearing you on that one, because if we do believe in conventional concepts of time, that they affect our very spirit, then we're actually giving power to these things, and we're not in our own power.
That's right. Yeah, that's exactly right. And another thing I found that was interesting about her talk also this morning was when you speak about time, there seems to be a little bit of a delay, and it ties in with your question about the law of attraction. Mm-hmm. We experience a delay in manifesting, and it's that delay that also gives us the sense of something being in the past and something then being created in the future. And so we have this concept of time created by ourselves. Now, what came out of it was that it could be that we are now experiencing the likes of an Armageddon that was created during the 1600s or the Dark Ages, or, you know, at the time of Christ or whenever, that we could be experiencing now the power of others' minds manifesting a fearful future. Do you understand?
I think I do. What they thought, what they wanted to put into play, they might never see in their lifetimes, but we're seeing it.
Yeah, we could be seeing it. And equally, what we create out of fear, we could be manufacturing that for our children. You know? And that's not a sensible thing to do. And it's why it's so important for us to keep our focus away from fear and away from manufacturing outcomes that suit a negative agenda.
Right. So it's more like not so much what happened 400 or 500 years ago, but what we're thinking right now.
Yes, yes, yes. Because those thoughts have amazing power. Yeah.
You know, I do get some of the emailing from the Akashic Record readings, so I'm very fortunate to have that. And I know that, you know, just sort of steering toward that subject for a sec, that Angale now offers, are they courses or workshops in it? Is that it?
Yeah, we're actually doing a workshop on the 22nd of February in San Diego, on how, you know, learning to read the Akashic Records. And it's very important that we're doing it physically. It's not something that we like to do over the airwaves or by way of an online course or a webinar, because it needs the physical contact. It needs that pineal induction that we talked about earlier. It needs the reality of this to be embedded deep into the consciousness, that people can read the Akashic Records. People can actually tap in psychically to this creative power, this force. And there are only small numbers that we do, and it's very rare that we do these kind of things. But one is happening on the 22nd of February in San Diego. We've rented a beautiful home with swimming pool and all kinds of wonderful accommodations for people. So the environment is really, really beautiful. And then the only other one that we have planned this year is in Ireland, on the 27th and the 28th of April. So that's going to be another wonderful experience for people.
Oh, my. That would be fantastic. In fact, I just, while you were speaking, Ahanu, called up an email telling me about the Akashic Records training. So San Diego, California, 22nd and 23rd of February, how to read the Akashic Records workshop. Is there a specific website people will go to find out that link? Is it on your own site?
Yeah, we haven't created a specific website for that, but now you've given me another idea. I should create one. But if people were to go to worldofempowerment.com and just click on the blog, there's a little link there for the blog, and you will find various updates about that workshop going back over the last several weeks. And there are also links on the shop page where you can actually click the link to book it.
Oh, wonderful. Okay, thank you for that. I wonder if I can ask you, you're focused in on and emphasizing the in-person experience, which I and Leslie and anyone who loves that sort of touch, the spiritual touch, want to go through. But is there something about physical proximity, Ahanu? Is that what does it?
No, that's not the primary reason.
Okay.
The primary reason that we want to do this on, I'll say one-to-one, there'll be more than one person, obviously, in the workshop. But I mean one-to-one in terms of going through the experience, is because it needs to be a protected space. And that's why we don't want to do it over the airwaves. It's very, well, let me backtrack. When we talked earlier about a negative agenda being out there and a negative agenda separating twin flames and a negative agenda using our thinking ability to create outcomes, we don't want to engage with that. We don't want to create a situation that somebody might be interfered with. Mm-hmm. So we do it in a spiritually controlled environment, you know, where everything is sacred and safe, and we're very cautious about that. So that's the primary reason.
I see. Well, thank you for clarifying that. And I totally understand the entire online piece of it. I'm a person who's heavily involved in social media, and I actually do this for some clients, and I'm learning more and more all the time. I'm never letting it replace personal touch and proximity, but I totally understand. It's worse than the Wild West. It's a frontier that I don't think you could possibly protect the space on it, could you?
Yeah, that's true. And also, you see, when people are doing this kind of work, a huge amount of healing takes place. And so we want to be able to support people with that healing. We want to be able to be in that environment, you know, and help people at all those different levels. And there's nothing, you know, I put it this way. We embrace the technology like you. You know, we love the ability of the Internet to reach all around the world. We love the ability to be able to make one post and it reaches into all the different social networks. You know, we love that. And we love being able to broadcast on the radio and do your podcasts and reach people through all these different methods. But at the same time, though, there are some things that their sacredness needs that contact. It needs that one-to-one, as I say. It needs you to be in that sacred space and to be in control of the environment and to be protected in doing what you're doing. So there are some things where we won't do online, you know?
I do understand. There's the trust aspect as well as the giving and taking, I guess, of essence and energy. And on that, I wanted to ask you if either Anne Gale or yourself, if you feel drained or up with energy and empowered, or how do you feel when you go through a workshop like this for 2 days?
Oh, gosh, elated, absolutely over the moon. In fact, again, if I could tell you, by way of a little story, you know, each Sunday when we do the Akashic Records groups, now they are online, but it's not a one-to-one scenario and it's not in a healing environment. But when we do the online groups, once Anne Gale Rose enters into that Akashic Records space, it's like as if she becomes energized spiritually and she might be tired in the beginning. Many times she said, gosh, I'm tired this morning, or I woke up tired, or I had a restless night or something. But as soon as she enters into that space, oh, you should see the transformation. It's nothing short of miraculous. And it's a wonderful thing. She really is. Anybody who goes into that space, it's a huge benefit to them in terms of the energy. And it's uplifting. It's wholesome. It's holy.
Well, she talked about it when she was on the show. Leslie asked her what it was like to be in that space.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's not at all draining.
Hmm.
Yeah.
And contrary to what
and
some
I find
people
the
might think.
Yeah, and I find the same thing when I do the spiritual pictures. It's the same thing. When you're connecting with that level of creativity inside yourself and you're touching something that is deeply spiritual and wholesome and pure and innocent, it's not like it's work. Do you know what I mean? It's not like you're you're in that place of trading hours for dollars and being tired from it.
Mm-hmm. And that's a good way to put it. It's more of a passionate thing. It's more about higher purposes at stake. And actually, that's going to lead me into I'm keeping my eye on the clock. I'm not rushing us. We still have about 9 minutes. But a lot of the discussion tonight is, at most, the whole thing is actually very positive. It's about passion. It's about connection. Maybe you can tell our listeners a little bit, and I'm going to learn this too, more about the Spirit of Love Project.
Yeah, sure. How that developed, I told you earlier the story about the spinal cord.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I don't profess to be the healer here at all, even though that was a healing experience. You know, I've stated up front, I'm not a doctor, and we always, as you know, from a legal and a 3D perspective and the power and control side of things, we have to put out the disclaimer, you know, go see a registered doctor or whoever if you have these pains and aches. Now, on the other side of that, I found myself doing a lot of these pictures that helped people on the level of healing, on the level of fixing something, you know, whether it was pains and aches or even money. Let me tell you a very quick story about healing money. This happened in upstate New York. A woman came, sat in front of me, and, you know, I just tuned in again to her, and I saw, you've got to picture this in your own mind, I saw a pair of hands with gold coins falling out of the hands. Their hands were pointing down towards the floor, and these gold coins were falling out of it, out of them. And I showed it to her, and she said, "Oh my God, I've just lost $3 million. I said, "Yeah, it's obvious. It's in your energy field. I can see it, you know." And she said, "I said, well, we can fix that, you know." And she said, "How can you fix that? You know, the money's gone." She was almost in tears. And I said, "It's easy. Let me just take this picture and turn it up the other way." And if you can see that in your mind's eye, you know, if you take a picture like that and turn it up the other way, now the coins look as if they're falling down into the hands, right?
Yeah.
I said, take that picture home, hang it in your kitchen or in your bedroom, and just stay with it. Well, about, I don't know, was it 3 weeks or a short time later anyway, we found out that she recovered every single penny. And I thought, whoa, that's it in action. Now, the Spirit of Love Project, I was walking on a wonderful walk through the forest in a part of Ireland called Glendalough. It stands for the Glen of the Two Lakes. Absolutely exquisite part of the country and beautiful earth energy. And I got this very clear download from Source, and it said, you're to no longer focus on what's wrong with people. Instead, you're to focus on the Spirit of Love inside them. And you're to paint that only, and then represent it as a shield of love that's rotating around the earth. So I didn't know what that would look like. I went home, I told Angie Rose, and I've never painted a fix-it picture ever since. I now paint only the Spirit of Love that I see inside people. And if anyone was to go to ahonu.com, ahonu.com, and go /gallery, they'd actually see the Spirit of Love Project pictures there. And let me give you another quick URL. It's ahonu.com again, but this time /Spirit of Love, all together one word, Spirit of Love. You'll actually see the hundreds and hundreds of Spirit of Love pictures of people rotating around the earth in an absolutely wonderful shield of love. And those pictures have transformed people's lives. It's an amazing, beautiful thing that I'm very, very privileged to be able to do.
And Ahana, most of these pictures have the, I don't know if you would say clients or your friends' names on them as well, right?
Yeah, they're personal to those people. Yeah, they have their names on them, and they take them home, or we send them to them electronically, depending on where they are in the world, and they print them out and put them on their walls, in their kitchen, their bedrooms, wherever, and they transform those people's lives. They are amazing. A lot of them, you will notice, they tend to be geometrical. They're like sacred geometry, a lot of them.
Yeah.
And others are like mandalas, you know, but they represent that spark of God inside people.
They are incredible pictures. I want to tell our listeners, and also tell our listeners that the before and after pictures of the spine are on the site as well, which is very cool.
Yes, that's right. Yeah, you can see how simple that is. You know, it's not an elaborate... That's what I was saying about people being able to draw or paint. You don't have to be a Van Gogh, you know, or a Picasso. They're very, very easy to do. And it's about trusting your own intuition and looking to that inner eye as opposed to the physical eye. And it's and I teach people how to do that also.
Well, Ahanu, we're running down the clock now. We have about 4 minutes left, so I'm going to mention a few more things, and I certainly give you a chance to mention them too. So I want to tell our listeners that you can also look in at Ahanu's work and world, and it's all part of our world too, on Facebook. So it's just facebook.com/Ahanu. Also on Twitter, same thing, twitter.com/Ahanu. Ahanu's main website is ahanu.com. And we've been speaking to our special guest tonight about everything and all things that seem to me they have to do with connectivity and connection. And our guest has several times used the phrase, and I can see this in his mind every time he does, tuning in or tuned in, and using the phrase getting downloads. And certainly, Leslie, if you're by chance listening to the show tonight or when you do, this is going to ring a bell for sure. The whole idea of downloads, and Leslie and I have talked about this, and it's happened during some of my hypnotherapy sessions with her as well. And these things are very real and very helpful, and the more you get in touch with yourself, I think, the more you can help others. So, Ahanu, what would you leave our guests with in the next, say, 2 minutes or so? What would you like to tell them?
I would say that everybody has these abilities. This might sound like only few people or select people have these gifts, and that is not the case at all. Everybody can become an artist. Everybody can be an author. Everybody is already spiritual. Everybody is already psychic. And to lose that old idea that we are somehow inferior or we can't, we're not able, we're not allowed, to lose those old ideas, because we are all wonderful, beautiful beings, and that is, if I could leave anybody with anything, that's what I'd like to get across, to step into your own power, step into your own beauty, step into your own innocence, and lose those old ideas of fear and guilt and unworthiness.
Thank you so much for that message. And our guest has been tonight, and we hope he comes back again, Ahanu. And he's talked about all sorts of wonderful things. The twin flames in particular is how we started, and then we went down all sorts of paths. And Ahanu is definitely a gentleman who has turned his life around and then some, and has now dedicated himself to helping. So thank you once again, Ahanu. Thank you, our listeners. I hope you'll come back and join us again soon. And this has been Wes Roberts for Leslie Mitchell Clark on Blog Talk Radio. So good night, Ahanu.
Thank you. Thank you so much, and blessings.
Thank you. And remember, listeners, you are not alone. Good night, everyone.